ஓம் நமோ பகவதே ஞான தண்டாயுத பாணையே, ஓம் நமோ பகவதே பால வேலாஜ சுவாமினே, ஓம் நமோ பகவதே சுவாமிநாதாய, ஓம் நமோ பகவதே மருதாச்சலமூர்த்தயே, ஓம் நமோ பகவதே ஸ்கந்தாய குஹாய கார்த்திகேயாய ஷண்முகாய சரவணபவாய ஸ்ரீவல்லி தேவசேனா சமேத ஸ்ரீ கல்யாண ஷண்முக சிவசுப்பிரமணிய பரப்ரம்மணே. ஓம் ஹரி ஓம் தத் சத் ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நம. ஹரி ஓம். ஓம் பிரம்மானந்தம் பரமசுகதம் கேவலம் ஞானமூர்த்திம் த்வந்த்வாதீதம் ககனசத்ருஷம் தத்வமஸ்யாதிலக்ஷ்யம் ஏகம் நித்யம் விமலமசலம் சர்வதீ சாட்சிபூதம் பாவாதீதம் த்ரிகுணரஹிதம் சத்குரும் தம் நமாமி. We are seeing this Kaivalya Upanishad. Om Athashvalayano Bhagavantam Parameshthinam Upasametyo Vacha Adhihi Bhagavan ब्रह्म विद्याम् वरिष्ठाम् सदा सद्भिः सेव्यमानाम् निगोढाम् यथाचिरात् सर्वपापं व्यपोह्य பராத்பரம் புருஷம் யாதி வித்வான் தஸ்மை ஸஹோவாச பிதாமஹஸ்ச ஸ்ரத்தா பக்தி த்யான யோகாதவைஹி ந கர்மணா ந ப்ரஜயா தனேன த்யாகேனைகே அம்ருதத்வமானசுஹ பரேண நாகம் நிஹிதம் குஹாயாம் விப்ராஜதே யத்யதயோ விஷந்தி. We have seen this third verse, third mantra. So Rishi Ashvalayanaha, when he approached Lord Brahma to give him, to bless him with Brahma Vidya, Brahmaji said the direct means of attaining jnanam is being given to systematic shravanam, mananam and nididhyasanam. So shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam is the direct means of knowledge, which is mokshaha, and which he implies using this word Shraddha Bhakti Dhyana Yogaha. These three words he uses. And that is the Sakshat Sadhanam. Then in the third mantra, he presents the indirect or supportive sadhanam, supportive means, without which this Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, listening to the teaching of the subject matter of the Shastram, or even dwelling upon, reflecting on the teaching, what one has understood, or even contemplation, also, all these things are not possible, will not be effective if there is no supportive means of this vairagyam. And the vairagyam, he is implies using this word tyagaha. And he said, na karmana, any amount of karma you do, whether the karma you do is a laukikam karma or vaidikam karma, whether it is a secular action or sacred religious activities, any action, whether it's a worship, whether it's an act of praying, whether it's a performance of worship, or even if you do any amount of charity, when you say secular, it involves all your performance of duties, performance of actions, other actions, social service activities, puta karma, or any type of karma you do. Karma, any action has its own limitation. Therefore, karma will not really bless you with the jnanam. Karma, performance of karma is not a means of attaining the knowledge of the reality, which is moksha. So, na karmana, na prajaya, are not any, by any possessions, by possessing anything. If I have some, if I possess things, will it really free me from bondage? Will it bless me with the knowledge? Will it bless me with the moksha? No. Not even by, that's why the possession means the things which really the children, the progeny, not by na prajaya, then what can really give me jnanam? What can really give me moksha? Of course, shravanam and mananam, this nididhyasana alone will give you jnanam. But this shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, done properly, supported by this adequate vairagyam, dispassion. Without which it is not possible. So, tyagena eva eke amritattvam anashuhu. The people had attained, whoever had attained moksha, attained this jnanam, they attained how? Only through tyaga, only through dispassion, only with the support of this dispassion. Yesterday we saw, in the previous class, we saw the meaning of dispassion also. Again, tyagaha, I wanted to, just started before we had the class. This dispassion, we have to understand, there is absolute dispassion and there is relative dispassion. What is absolute dispassion? The total dispassion is absolute dispassion. You can say being completely free from the hold of passion and desires is absolute dispassion, total dispassion. Which means nothing in the world can trigger any desire for it. Trigger a desire in you. Suppose in jnanam, this total dispassion, absolute dispassion is possible only in jnanam. Which jnanam? Only if a person is wise, the person is endowed with this vision of the non-duality of the reality, the person has already resolved his sense of smallness, sense of individuality, the sense of inadequacy in Paramatma. He already resolved his smallness. Then he is free from the sense of inadequacy and smallness. How? In the wake of knowledge of the reality as his own swarupam. It's very important. The person has a vision means, what does it mean? The person is endowed with the vision of the reality, the truth of the whole cosmos. And that reality is his own swarupam. For him, the swarupam of I, the truth of I, is Chaitanyam Brahma, the consciousness. And that consciousness, the Chaitanyam, is the truth of everything here also. And the one who has clear understanding, he sees the duality. For him, duality is empirically, relatively real. Nobody can deny the existence of duality. Dvaitam is there or not? Dvaitam is very much there. How can you say Dvaitam is not there? But how is it? This duality, the perception of duality, which is not denied by Adishankar Bhagavad Pada. So the duality is relatively real, empirically real. But duality is not absolutely real. But what is absolutely real is non-duality of the reality, in the wake of knowledge of which, the vision of which reality, you resolve all these differences. This jiva, aham, I am an individual, aham jivaha, this a paramatma, you know, there's a jivatma and paramatma, this bheda resolves when relatively differences are there. Nobody can deny this. But absolutely there is non-difference. One who is endowed with this clear vision of the vision of the non-duality of reality, absolutely, this absolute vision one who has, such a person is free from the sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy, you know, centered on I. Such a person is really free from, you know, free from the hold of passion. He is a totally, absolutely dispassionate person. So where there is wisdom, there is total dispassion. The passion, you can ask me, how is it possible for a wise person to be free from passion? The passion will not be there. He's free from passion. He's totally dispassionate, means because passion is possible only if there are desires. Desires are possible only if there are needs. Needs are possible only if there is sense of inadequacy, sense of smallness centered on I. Now in Tamil we say kurai. Kurai irundhaldan thevai irukkum. Thevai irundhaldan aasai irukkum. Aasai irundhaldan patru irukkum. Understand now? When? It's all the sequence. You have to understand this. So passion and wisdom cannot coexist. It's a very important lesson. Where there is self-ignorance, there is definitely ignorance of the reality. And where there is self-ignorance, there will be erroneous self-perception. And because of, it is the order, I'm repeating it. It's not the first time, second time. Every time I had to repeat it. You had just become very clear. Why? I'm interested in making one small point. What is that? How wisdom and passion cannot coexist. To make this clear, I had to repeat what I have already taught you many times. See, where yatra jnanam, where there is ignorance, and there alone can be sense of smallness centered on I. There alone can be sense of inadequacy centered on I. Now even if you simply say, no, I don't feel inadequate. It's not a question of feeling. You must be very clear. You know that whether you want to feel, don't want to feel, it must be a fact for you. This is a fact which must have been understood by you. Therefore, we say, where there is ignorance, definitely there is erroneous self-perception. Because you do not know what you are. And how can you have right perception of yourself? Even you do not even know what you are, and you do not even know that you do not know what you are, of what choice do you have? Now that you want to, people say, no, I don't want to know. Now that we want to have right wrong perception of ourselves, helplessly, choicelessly, naturally, our perception of self is wrong. Because of this erroneous self-perception, and we have definitely, we have this adhyasa, we do mistake the non-self for the self. And not only that, once you mistake this non-self for the self, and naturally, all the limitations, all the problems of the non-self become superimposed upon the self. Adhyaropa, not that you want to have it. Because of this, the superimposition of limitations and problems of the non-self upon the self, And naturally, it is you have this notion. Any notion you entertain about yourself is erroneous notion. Therefore, there's a wrong self-image. And first thing that comes is, I am inadequate. You don't need to say it outside. All that behavior is expression of, expresses what? Everything you do, every behavior of every individual expresses one sense of inadequacy being hunted on I. There is naturally sense of inadequacy, sense of insecurity, you know, the sense of being insignificant, the sense of, understand, one being unhappy, the sense of inadequacy and smallness. I am small. I am small. I am inadequate. This is the fundamental problem, and which is centered on I, which is naturally there. This natural, common, human, fundamental problem being there. How is it possible for one to be free from needs and desires and passion? That is why having this problem inside, how much ever you work hard to give up desire, to become free from dispassion, patru viduga, give up detachment, no, become dispassionate, don't have passion, don't be passionate, don't have desires, come, don't, if you say everything like a hammering, it's more painful. Not that you want to hold on to passion and desire. It is very natural for you to be passionate, very natural for you to be, you know, to be desirous of things, very natural. Why? Because the soul needs are there. It's not just the biological, physical needs which are natural. Of course, the emotional needs. Actually, emotionally, all of us are very, very needy. We are emotionally very insecure. Being insecure is not wrong, papam. It's not wrong. It's a natural problem. Is headache is not that you want to have headache. Right? You develop it. So if you have to feel guilty to have headache. So being insecure is very natural. You don't need to feel guilty about it. We have to understand our problem. Shastram is so sweet that it doesn't want to feel guilty about anything. You please feel, don't feel shy that you are insecure. All of us, every human being, every human mind, there is a sense of insecurity. We're all insecure. We're all in the sense of insignificance. Therefore, a sense of smallness, the sense of inadequacy, it's a natural thing. Therefore, because this problem being very natural, the needs are there naturally. Emotionally, I know the need is there. I need to feel secure. I need to be secure. I need to be happy. I need this. I need to be full. So that natural need is there. Needs being there, then what happens? The diseases are there. I want this. I want that. I want this. I want this. I want this. Any number of things you add to the verb want. I want. In a way, every time I want this, there's actually expression of your sense of inadequacy. If you say, I want food, I want water, I can understand it is something to, this is a desire caused by your natural urge, which you have no choice. You have to fulfill it. So I want to be happy also is what? Natural emotional urge. You have no choice. I want to be happy. You have to understand very clearly how I want to eat, I want to drink because I'm hungry. It's not a cultivated desire. Not that you have developed the desire for you, so you can for you to ignore that desire. Sometime or other, you have to eat, you have to drink, so you have to appease your hunger, quench your thirst because it is a natural physical urge, biological urge. So I want to be happy is also, you don't express it. I want to be happy, you may not tell, say it outside, but there is natural emotional urge which you have to address. And that urge alone really expresses in the form of what? All your desire for anything in the world. That is why all your wants, all your desires are basically, you know, they sprout from the fundamental root of I want to be happy. But not where, always and everywhere. I want to be limitlessly happy because I want to be happy always. I want to be happy everywhere. I want to be happy with everybody. And this is the common human fundamental desire from which alone all other desires crop up. Therefore, all other desires having the root where? In this fundamental desire. And this desire, did you create it? Therefore, how can you undo any desire? You can fulfill your desire, but by fulfilling any number of desires is like only taking care of the symptoms of the disease, having the disease inside. That is why you have to fulfill your desires. That is why you are slogging. We have to slog choicelessly. We are just driven, chased by our own needs and desires. We have to do. Natural and also these somehow basically all your desires somehow have their root where only in the natural urge only. I want to be happy. That's why this natural emotional urge, I want to be happy always, everywhere, with everybody, that happens to be the natural one, uncreated one. You know, all other desires happen to be the expressions and modified forms of that one desire. All our actions, all our movements, all our activities, you know, everything is really actually impelled by that urge only. That is why Shastram tells, be intelligent, don't play with the nature, don't fight against nature. You don't need to try to undo, not to do it, trying to undo your desire, trying to destroy your desire, give up your desire is a foolish thing. Please try to understand what desire is, why there is a desire. And that desire, sometimes, you know, the passion, we call the desire a passion, when the fulfillment of desire is so desperate, you cannot manage without fulfilling that particular desire, then you call it a passion. So that's why passion. So passion is possible only if there are desires. Desires are possible only if there are needs. Needs are there where there is sense of inadequacy or sense of smallness centered on I. And the sense of smallness or sense of inadequacy centered on I will be definitely there where there is superimposition of limitations of non-self upon the self. Adhyaropa. And that, of course, you will superimpose helplessly all the limitations of the non-self upon the self when you mistake the non-self for the self in your erroneous perception of the self, that all because of ajnanam. So the self-ignorance, the root cause of the problem, and in resolving which you come to know of the truth of the whole jagat. That is when you understand the non-duality of the reality. There are not two different truths. There are not many truths. The truth is secondless. Advitiyam satyam, advayam satyam. Secondless reality and, you know, the non-dual reality. Only in that vision. In the vision, that's why we say, in the wake of the knowledge of the self being Brahman, the limitless reality of the entire cosmos, you have your problem resolved. What is the fundamental problem? The sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy is actually your problem. That is why Swamiji always says, you are the problem and you are the solution. Where does the problem lie? In Tamil, we have a saying, this beautiful saying, Nandrum Tidum Pirattara Vara. I tell you, the world is neither the source of unhappiness, nor can the world give you happiness. World cannot make you happy, nor can the world make you unhappy also. We either think the world will make me happy, or we think the world world will make me happy, or world is responsible for my unhappiness. We always blame. We always point out, because of this person I'm unhappy, because of this person is very good, she helped me, I'm happy. We always think that way. In fact, the world is neither a source of happiness nor responsible for unhappiness. Your unhappiness is all because of this fundamental core problem of the sense of smallness. I'm repeating it. Sense of inadequacy centered on I. If somebody else is small, it doesn't make you unhappy, okay? You don't care. You're happy, in fact. But when I am small, that is where the problem. I'm small in terms of so many, in terms of looks, in terms of possession, in terms of position, in terms of status, in terms of academic qualification, in terms of knowledge, in terms of so many things, influence, in terms of, I'm small because there's limitation. That's why, and this fundamental problem of the smallness being centered on I will resolve. You cannot give it up. You cannot throw it away. You cannot push it aside. If we all can easily push aside, now people do one thing. Take some sedatives, forget yourself. Sense of smallness resolves for some time. You know, take overdosage of something, you forget yourself. Then that time there is no sense of smallness. That is why people like it. They're free. Doesn't really. It's not triggered, isn't it? But Shastram says that is not a solution, isn't it? In sleep, there is no sense of smallness. We all love sleep. You know why? You are free from the notion. Understand all wrong notions you have about yourself. And there's the sense of smallness, the sense of inadequacy centered on I is not there. All the thoughts are resolved, all the notions are resolved. In sleep, you are happy. In sleep, you are happy temporarily. That's why you call it temporary moksha. Every day you sleep for some hours, temporary moksha. That if Rahu goes and sits in 12th house, it's somebody I read somewhere. 12th house Rahu, especially it's not Rahu, the sun. When the sun, goes to 12th house, for everyone, 1 month in a year will be in 12th house. Then that month you can't sleep well, it seems. And I noticed my jet lag. I connected, oh my God, Taimasam. So my son is sitting in the 12th house in Makara. So naturally, I can't sleep. I was wondering. People always lose a lot of sleep. When the sun goes to 12th house, you can make out. But 1 month you had to manage. Sometimes. They say this. I don't know. Now what I'm saying, that time even that punyam is that papam, you can't, even then you had to keep awake. 1 month, choicelessly. Now what I'm saying here, this in sleep, nobody wants to take drugs or liquor in sleep. Nobody has the desire for anything. There's no desire in deep sleep. No, even in deep sleep, I have some desire. Who has desire? There's no desire to eat, desire to drink, desire to anything. If you fall asleep, if you're sound sleep, in sleep, nobody has desire. Nobody has jealousy. Nobody has hatred. Nobody has anger. No anger, no jealousy, no hatred, no problem, no desire. No passion, no anxiety. Oh my God, what am I going to do? Why? That's why we all love sleep. Every being in the world loves sleep. You know why? You're completely knocked off. You're knocked off means what? The eye sense is knocked off. Bhagavan has blessed you. at least some hours of sleep, naturally Bhagavan helps you to have this notion, I am small, I am inadequate, to remain resolved. Naturally, the thoughts resolve, the notion resolves. Naturally, isn't it? But the unfortunate, but you can't be sleeping whole day, no? You have to wake up. And the same karma comes and wakes you up. You have to wake up. And even if you want to sleep, you can't sleep after 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the morning. You have to wake up. And who wakes you up? How? Again, the waking up is also, you know, within the realm of the order. You are part of the karma. What you have to exhaust that day. That day you have to have tea. Your tea is waiting. Your coffee is waiting. Your breakfast is waiting. You have to wake up. That day you have to go and work. Do your work. That day you have to. All that karma is, your karma will wake you up. Our part of the karma will wake you up. The day the part of the karma does not wake you up, part of the has come to an end. Isn't it? That is why nobody, we just talk all big things, okay? We are within the whole realm of law and order. The whole existence is in the realm of law and order. Every day you're woken up. But only sometime you're free. Once you wake up, until you fall asleep, what choice do you have? All the thoughts are there. You have this problem. That is why this is a continuous, endless, choiceless problem. Endless problem here. This is endless. That is why we call it samsaraha. Okay? Even if this life comes to an end, again it continues. It continues. It continues. Janmantara janma, isn't it? Again, janma after janma, birth after birth, birth after birth, birth after birth, you continue. That's why it's a cycle of births and deaths. It's called samsara sagara, likened to samsara. It's an endless. But can you put an end to it? Yes. When? As long as this notion, I am small, I am inadequate, this notion is there. You know, this notion is not resolved. This is the notion which keeps you some, you know, these births of cycle of births and deaths alive. Samsara. You know, what is that really gives life for the samsara? It is this notion. This notion is because of what? Erroneous perception. That is because of what? Ignorance. That is why as long as ignorance is, so long will there be this notion. So will the samsara will continue. You say that. For this notion in the wake of knowledge of the self, when you this notion resolves by itself, not by your effort. You don't need to undo the notion, give up the notion, get rid of the notion, push aside the notion. You cannot do it. It will resolve by itself. Thanagave neengum. Thanagave odungum. It will resolve by itself. Once this erroneous notion is resolved, along with that notion, everything will be resolved. Kundodu kailasam. You don't need to send one after the other. Okay? What all will resolve? The desires will resolve. Passion will resolve. Needs will resolve. That's why you need not give up the disease. You cannot give up. You need not undo this passion. The passion will resolve. That is why in the wake of jnanam, there'll be total dispassion. Why? Because in jnanam, you will be reveling in fullness. In ajnanam, you are suffering with this problem of sense of smallness centered on I. In jnanam, in knowledge, you are reveling in fullness. Fullness and inadequacy. Because fullness and inadequacy cannot coexist, isn't it? Niraivum kurayum serndirukka mudiyadhu. There can't be fullness and inadequacy together. In knowledge, there is sense, there is a fullness. You don't think you are full. Don't feel you are full. You are fullness yourself. How do you know that? That's the vision of your Swarupam is fullness. Do you attain it? No. Which is already there. You're already fullness. You do not know. Now you know. You take ownership of the fullness as your Swarupam. So you are fullness. You are happiness. Therefore, in knowledge, you are reveling in fullness. As an individual also, having recognized your Swarupam being fullness, you revel in fullness. You have the luxury of reveling in fullness. There's no greater luxury, you know, than reveling in the knowledge of self being fullness. Therefore, we say you are reveling in fullness, therefore there's no inadequacy. Therefore, the needs, everything will resolve. That is how you become free. You do not give up. You become free from the hold of passion. That's how there's total dispassion. Total dispassion is possible, the vision of fullness, in reveling in fullness. Is it clear? Therefore, the knowledge is absolute dispassion, total dispassion. Is it clear? Whereas in ignorance, total dispassion is not possible. But here, the Acharya means, Tyagena here means relative dispassion. In order to discover total dispassion, in the form of discovery of fullness as one's own Swarupam, you have to be relatively dispassionate. Understood now? So relatively dispassionate means what? You have still passion for knowledge. Yet you have the fervent desire for knowledge. Which means you are not interested in anything else, but you are totally interested in jnanam. That is possible only if you are evolved. When you actually, there's a constantly, you know, reshuffling of your priorities. There's a constant reshuffling of your priorities. As you live, as you grow, you reshuffle your priorities, isn't it? The reshuffling of your priorities is actually a natural phenomenon. And because the whole life teaches you. And naturally, oh no, it is the jnanam I want. It is moksha that is I'm really seeking. That when you become mature, when you become committed to the pursuit of knowledge, your total commitment is to the pursuit of knowledge, doesn't mean that you are giving up everything else. You are doing everything for jnanam. In fact, you know, the sun rays are there. The rays are so scattered. But when all the sun's rays are focused, you know, converged in one, you know, converged, then I tell you that converged energy really can burn an object. Isn't it? How? Everything has to converge. One lens, isn't it? Similarly, all your things, all that you are doing in this life, eating, drinking, sleeping, everything is ultimately for jnanam, ultimately for knowledge, ultimately for moksha, ultimately for Bhagavan. We use the term Bhagavan if a religious person. Otherwise, we use the term jnanam and moksha. Ultimately, everything is for jnanam. If that becomes very clear, then everything is focused, you know, and this jnanam, that is the dispassion. That's tapas. No, that's really, imagine how, what it can do. That dispassion, it needs a person's maturity. You evolve, you learn, then you become dispassionate, then that is tyaga. That is relative dispassion. one has to become relatively dispassionate in order to discover total dispassion in the form of discovery of fullness as one's own Swarupam, which is the Swarupam of Brahman, the reality, or Bhagavan. And here, in that jnanam, people, the wise people, discover the reality as one's own self. That is what really entering into Paramatma. We saw that also yesterday. Now we'll go to the next verse, the fourth mantra. Vedanta Vijnana, say? Sunischitarthaha. Sanyasa Yogad Yatayaha Shuddha Sattvaha Te Brahma Lokeshu Parantakale Paramrita Parimuchyanti Sarve. Vedanta Vijnana Sunischitarthaha Sanyasa Yogad Yataya Shuddha Sattvaha Te Brahma Lokeshu Parantakale Paramrita Parimuchyanti Sarve. We have Swara in Mahanarayana Upanishad. We have few more verses. We chant generally when someone receives sadhus. Anyway, so here we don't have swaram, so anyway, for understanding. Again, this verse also talks about the knowledge only. And later on, this teacher is introducing the meditation. Actually, meditation, I can say, we worship the Lord, the whole in one given form. And we relate to the Lord, the whole, in that one given form. And we worship that form. We invoke the grace of the Lord in that one form. Even though it's one form, it represents the whole. We need that initially. It is Eka Rupa Dhyanam. And later on, instead of seeing the whole world in that one form, the whole universe, Ishvara, we have that one as a symbol. We see the whole universe as Ishvara. We change, we shift. That is Aneka Rupa Dhyanam. So worship of one form and worship seeing the whole universe as Bhagavan. Aneka Rupa Dhyanam. Then later on, we have to shift to Arupa Dhyanam. First, one given form, we meditate upon one form, then we see the certain understanding of the whole as Ishvara. Then ultimately, at last, we have to go to Arupa. Arupa then means the formless reality. Meditation on formless reality. This is shifting, isn't it? Slow shifting. So all the three are mentioned here in following mantras. 6, 7 here. And before that, he presents the order of the teaching. Let's take this word Yatayaha. See that? Vedant, the order is presented here. Before entering into that actual presentation of the meditation, he presents the order here. The chronological order of the whole teaching. Look at this. Vedanta Vijnana Sunischitarthaha Sanyasa Yogad Yatayaha Shuddha Sattvaha. ते ब्रह्मलोकेषु परांतकाले परामृताः परिमुच्यन्ति सर्वे. सर्वे परिमुच्यन्ति, सर्वे ऑल द पीपल परिमुच्यन्ति, टोटली दे आर फ्रीड, लिबरेटेड, दे बिकम फ्री. Who are these people who become totally, absolutely free from what? We can understand free from bondage. So, parimuchyanti, how do they become free from this bondage? Paramrutaha. Paramrutaha means they become amrutaha. They become immortal themselves. How do they become immortal themselves? Does it mean all these wise people will be sitting there? No, amrutaha, immortal means they understand, they are the people who understood the truth of the self being immortal. Those who understood the self being immortal, self being not subject to time, not subject to birth and death, those who understood the nature of the self. So having understood the nature of the self being immortal, nature self being an object to time, birth and death, no, they become immortals. Amrutaha. Which amrutaha? So, para amrutaha. Param, it means they become one with Brahman. See, para amrutaha bhavanti, we have to understand. They become, param is absolute reality. And amrita means immortal. So, they become one with immortal, timeless, everlasting, limitless, absolute reality, Brahman. This much you have to say to understand the one word, para amrutaha. They become, these people who are liberated, who are the people who are liberated, who are free from this bondage of karma, who are the jivan muktas, who are the people here, those who have become one with what? One with Brahman. Param, absolute reality. What is that reality? The limitless reality, and which is of the nature of limitlessness, which is of the nature of fullness, which is consciousness itself, and which is of the nature of immortality, which is not subject to time, which is not subject to birth and death. So, they have paramrutaha parimuchyanti. These people who have become one with Paramatma, they become liberated. How do they become one with Paramatma? Not by doing anything else. Na karma na na prajaya. But how? Tyagena. No, is mere tyaga? No. Through shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. When I use three words, very, it doesn't take 1 minute, okay? But it's, shravanam means you know what it is, isn't it? So they attain by recognizing their swarupam. Just by knowing the content of I, knowing the substance of substantive I, just by recognizing the truth of I being consciousness, which is the truth of everything, identical with Paramatma. Self being identical Paramatma, by recognizing this fact, recognizing the truth, by understanding the fact, they become one with Paramatma. That is why becoming one with Paramatma is not a physical action, it is purely cognitive. Paramrutaha sarve parimuchyanti. Who are the people who attain here? Who are the people? We have to understand here. They become paramrutaha, again here, Brahma Lokeshu. Brahma Lokesh, the plural is used just for the sake of reverence. Brahmani. Brahma Lokesh means they become one with Paramatma. By becoming one with Paramatma, they become absolutely immortal. Then they become free from bondage of karma. They become liberated. The notional bondage. When Parantakale, Parantakala means time of the time of death. Parantakale Brahmani Eki Bhuya Amrutaha Bhavanti. They become liberated. become free. At least they can become even before that. And who are the people? How? The important word is yatayaha. Yatayaha parimuchyanti. Yatayaha paramrutaha bhavanti. Yatayaha brahma lokeshu. No, parantakale brahma lokeshu paramrutaha parimuchyanti. It is yatayaha. Yatayaha. Who are the people who become free? Who become liberated? Yatayaha. The word yatihi, the singular word. The plural is yatayaha. Yatihi literally means sannyasi. Okay? Sannyasi here means what? Not just a sannyasi. The one who is dispassionate. Not the one who is simply wearing saffron robes. The one who is totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge. The one who is focused. And one who for whom Purushartha Nischaya is there. Even having Purushartha Nischaya also, sometimes we are not very focused. Here this yatihi means a totally one who is totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge and moksha. And one who is of yatnashilaha, the one yatate iti yatihi, one who constantly, continuously, and then makes efforts. Which effort? Yesterday also I mentioned this. Right, appropriate efforts. Put right direction. That is very important. Yatayaha means people who make appropriate efforts. Put in right direction. And they alone discover the self. They alone understand the self being identical with Paramatma. Thereby they alone attain moksha. This is the teaching here, the second lines. Yatayaha eva. All of us can become yatis. Yatayaha. I'm an yatihi. You can become a yatihi. Everyone is supposed to become a yatihi. Yatihi means the person of appropriate effort put in right direction is the yatihi. Then you are a sannyasi. That's why yatihi means direct sannyasi. Not simply external appearance does not make one a sannyasi. What does it mean? For one, everyone to become a yatihi, you must have the help of the teacher. How to become a yatihi? How to make appropriate efforts? And how to put right effort in right direction? That is why you need a traditional teacher. Otherwise, you will be ayati. Either you will not make any efforts or you will be a person of inappropriate efforts. Then we work very hard. I can see people doing lot of things. All the wrong efforts. Inappropriate efforts. Fasting, people fast and then do lot of japam and do lot of prarayanam and go to temples and do lot of things. Everything they do. People are not doing efforts. Are they not religious? They're all religious. Very religious. And they do lots of things. All the efforts are there. But they do not know which is the means for which end. What is the end and what is the means? That is not very, they're not very clear. What should be preceding a discipline? What should be followed later on? The limitation of everything also. If I say, japam is not enough. If I say, then they think japam is useless. If japam is useful, it has its own limitation. Meditation is useful, it has its own limitation. It cannot do everything. Worship is very important, but it is not everything. It is not the ultimate end. Going to temple is very, very important. Offering is very important, but that's not the end of everything. It has its own limitation. People don't understand all these things. People think we work very hard and do so much, but still there's no progress. No, there's still samsaris only. Why? Because there's for everyone's efforts to be right, appropriate efforts, placed in right direction, one must have the teacher. And the teacher means not somebody holding on to some person emotionally. The person who really teaches you the Shastra. He only brings to light the content of the teaching. So in the light of the teaching, you will find out your own map. And you will see that what should be done first, what should be later on. That is why Yatayaha means the people of right efforts, they alone. Don't think Yatayaha, Paramrutaha, Parimuchyanti, they only become one with Brahman, they attain Paramatma, they become free from knowledge. Not for us to study this. For us to become Yatis, that is why it's important. Every one of us must become a Yati. When you start this Kaivalya Upanishad, you should become a Yati yourself. The person of right effort, placed in right direction. So Yatayaha, so people of right effort, what do they do? Who are the people here? First we have to say Shuddha Sattvaha. First thing is what? Shuddha Sattvaha. Shuddha Sattvaha means people of mental purity. Mental purity with focused attention are called Shuddha Sattvaha. So how do they become Shuddha Sattvaha? It is not said here. The Kaivalya Upanishad does not talk about Karma Yoga at all. And we have to understand what? By living a life of Karma Yoga. People of right efforts, they know, I have to really neutralize my ragadveshas. What does it mean by saying Shuddha Sattvaha? What does it mean? Shuddha Sattvaha, pure minded, the person of mental purity. What does it mean? Okay, pure minded, English word. What does it mean? Becoming pure mentally means what? Having one's ragadveshas, likes and dislikes neutralized. So you will resolve all your likes and dislikes absolutely in jnanam. Only in the wake of knowledge of the self, you will become absolutely pure-minded. Paripurna shuddha antahkaranaha. You will become absolutely pure-minded only in knowledge. Until this jnanam takes place, you had to be relatively pure-minded. That is why nahi jnanena sadrisham iha pavitram iha vidyate. Why? There is nothing which is equivalent to knowledge which can help you discover purity. Because you are already purity yourself. You are already purity yourself. You cannot become purer than what you are. You are not impure at all. You are already pure. You are already purity yourself. But still, there is a sense of impurity is there. Because ragadveshas are there. Ragadvesha means likes and dislikes. Desire, two sides of the same coin called desire, is like and dislike. Ragaha, dveshaha. One is desire in of likes and dislikes. No, are there. Ragadveshas are there. Definitely there will be other six. Now what other five? Krodaha, anger will be there. Lobaha, greed will be there. Madaha, pride will be there. Matsaryam, jealousy will be there. You can't help. At least the degree of jealousy, envy may vary from person to person, but you can't help. There'll be certain degree of jealousy. You don't know, it's there naturally. Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, matsarya, all of them will be there once ragadvaya, the kama. Actually, one word stands for kama, the raga and dvesha. That's why they're said to be shadripavaha, sixfold enemies. Shadari, six enemies. And those enemies, you had to know, that is why Bhagavan's feet are always put on your head, shadari. Now, shannam arihi, shadari. The enemy of the six, shadari. The feet stand for Bhagavan Jnanam. only in the wake of knowledge of yourself being non-separate from Paramatma. Only in that jnanam, when your ahankara is resolved, I sense is resolved totally, you will become free from all those six. That's why where there is Atma Jnanam, where there is Paramatma Jnanam, where there is knowledge of the truth, there cannot be these six. These six cannot be there. Where the knowledge is not there, these six will be there. That is why the knowledge chases them out, throws them out. Shatru, enemy. Knowledge is enemy of the six. That is why Shannam Arihi. What is the Shannam Arihi? What is the enemy of the six? Knowledge. And that knowledge is symbolized by what? 2 feet of Bhagavan. Okay? And that is why in Vaishnava temples, you go to temple, they'll put on your head this feet. Shadari. Oh, Nanaj is not there, it will not. That's why every time you bow to, you have that Shadari, you are praying to Bhagavan, you seek Bhagavan's grace. Oh Lord, please bless me with the knowledge of Thy Swarupam, where I will resolve my identity. Where I will not be there, only You, I'll see only You everywhere. Then I am not there. No? Then all the six will resolve. That is the idea. Very beautiful, that one. So here, that's why we say once Kama Krodha is there, this Kama is there, especially likes and dislikes. In Tamil we call Virupu Virupu. We can't help. Always we are driven, impelled by those, our actions are impelled by our own likes and dislikes. Understand? We are enslaved by the likes and dislikes. We have no say over likes and dislikes. Because we are not creating our likes and dislikes. We are helpless. Likes and dislikes are part of the individual, the mind. So the physical activities are completely impelled by the physical actions being impelled by your likes and dislikes. You know, you're a slave of it sometimes. The likes and dislikes. That's why we say, and we have to neutralize these likes and dislikes. How can you neutralize your likes and dislikes? How can you manage your likes and dislikes? So initially, you manage your raga dveshas, okay? And later on, you become free from the hold of raga dveshas. You have to manage, I use this exact term, okay? Initially, one has to learn to manage one's raga dveshas, likes and dislikes. So that later on, in the wake of knowledge of the self being Paramatma, you become free from the hold of raga dveshas. All the six enemies will resolve. You don't need to undo them. The jealousy will disappear, dissolve by itself. Hatred will resolve. Anger will resolve. Likes and dislikes will resolve. Disease will resolve. Everything will resolve by itself. Nothing is destroyed here. They'll be resolved. They will resolve. For which, you manage initially. So here, Shuddha Sattvaha means those who have neutralized their raga dveshas. Those who have successfully managed their raga dveshas. They're called Shuddha Sattvaha. So first, what the first thing you have to become? Once you're Yatihi means you live a life of Karma Yoga. A Yatihi, a person of right effort, who is focused, who has Purushartha Nischaya, who wants to be successful ultimately, will be first, what is right effort? First, live a life of Karma Yoga. That's the only way you can manage your raga dveshas. That's the only way you can neutralize your raga dveshas. That is how you become relatively pure-minded. The Shuddha Sattvaha means those who are relatively mentally pure by living a life of Karma Yoga. What is the means? What the first qualification you need? Shuddha Antahkaranam, mental purity. What is the means? What is the end? Let me become mentally pure. Mental purity is the end to be accomplished. What is the sadhanam? What is the means? Living a life of Karma Yoga. Is it clear? That is what is yatihi means. You do that. And there again, mental purity, when you say, no, this in jnanam, there's a total freedom, but initially you manage. So there we call it samskrita purushaha bhutva. See, there is a prakrita purushaha, there is a samskrita purushaha. Initially, if you are not a yatihi, what would you have been? No, you would have been a prakrita purushaha. If you are prakrita purushaha means all you are managed by your likes and dislikes. If all your actions are governed by your own whims and fancies, your own likes and dislikes, whatever you do, whatever likes and dislikes are there, all your actions are governed by your likes and dislikes, means you are a prakrita purushaha. If your actions are governed by your knowledge of right and wrong, your knowledge of values, your commitment to values, then you are a samskrita purushaha. That is the difference. How to manage, you know, that is why remember Bhagavan has already blessed you with the knowledge of right and wrong. Don't ever say, I do not know what is right and what is wrong. Already I have all taught you all those things. Bhagavan has blessed you with the knowledge of right and wrong. Bhagavan has blessed you with the free will, the capacity to choose to do a given action. So use your willpower. By using one's willpower, by using one's knowledge of right and wrong, and irrespective of what I'm going to get or not, not literally looking into what I'm going to get, what I'm going to lose, what is right, I'm doing, what is not right, what is wrong, I'm refraining from it. Doesn't matter what I'm going to lose by that. That commitment, that's not an easy thing. That is why living a life of dharma is the only way, because you have to compromise with, you may have to lose a lot of things. That is why we are very difficult for us to manage this. There's a commitment to live a life of dharma is the only way you can, when you, by living a life of dharma, you can always manage your likes and dislikes. And when you live for a length of time, you live that lifestyle, in karma, live a life of karma yoga, prayerfully, worshipfully, righteously. When you live a life of karma yoga with the proper attitudes, in due course of time, it takes not overnight. Nothing can happen overnight. Tomorrow, only one day I will live a life of karma yoga. And day after I want antakarna shuddhi. That is not antakarna shuddhi. That's why whole grihasthashrama is designed for living a life of karma yoga to become relatively mentally pure. Whole grihasthashrama life is prescribed for that, designed for that. It's a long time. It's not that easy. That's why consciously living this life of karma yoga means living a life of dharma, dharma governed life with the proper attitude, risharpana buddhihi, with the prasada buddhihi, and how you see everything. You live all the time, you are managing your thoughts. That's why you seek Bhagavan's grace also, live a life of karma yoga. In due course of time, you will become what? Shuddha Antakarna, Shuddha Sattvaha. Not overnight. Oh my God, I have finished my karma. Now, what's that? Grihasthashrama life. Then I can't. Don't worry now. Okay? You can overnight, you can get. Because your age, at least now you understand. Now you can make all possible efforts quickly. That's why Shuddha Sattvaha means here. Shuddha Sattvaha, So, yatayaha, people of right effort, by living a life of karma yoga, and those have become, from being a prakrita purushas, they do have become samskrita purushas. They become pure minded. And not only that, they, because of their worshipfulness, they also become people of focused attention. Shuddha sattvaha, then comes what? Sanyasa yogat. Sanyasa yogat. Then comes what? Sanyasa yogaha. What is sanyasa yogaha? First shuddha sattva, no? Sanyasa yogaha means living a life of jnana yoga. So karma yoga first, chitta shuddhi comes later, then you get, you also become focused, and then you have that you are not distracted and disturbed, restless mind anymore. The mental purity, you know, with worshipfulness also help you to become with the person of focused attention. Then comes what? Sanyasa yogaha. Sanyasa yoga means what? Jnana yogaha. Jnana yoga means what? Going through shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. Sanyasa yoga. I'm not repeating it. The mantra repeats. Before he takes you to the next other verses, and he wants you, all the first few verses in the beginning are all preparation for the Upanishadic study. There's a lot of things are repeated here. So sannyasa, no, then you go through shravanam, mananam, and nididhyasanam. So that is why a karma yogi also is a sannyasi in a way. Being a karma yogi itself is not an easy joke. Don't think only sannyasi means only saffron-robed person is a sannyasi. No, you are a karma yogi means you are a sannyasi to some extent. Because you are really refraining from many of the actions. Just you are dropping your desires. Just because you are refraining from actions which are against dharma, you are a sannyasi. Sannyasa means not just dipping off of the pleasures. No. This is the actual understanding, the actual teaching. Therefore, then you go through shravanam, mananam, because as a shuddha antahar, as a man, pure minded, as a person of focus, attention, when you do shravanam, that's what, no? All your, it's like I told you already about this, the energy being converged, the converged rays of sunlight. The converged energy has the capacity to burn the object. So here all your efforts are focused now. Therefore, with that focus, attention, now when you do, along with whatever you have to do, do shravanam systematically. The systematic, regular, continuous study of the teaching, the shastram, with the help of a competent teacher for a length of time, which will help you resolve your ignorance. Then, you know, again, repeated listening and reflection on what you have heard will help you resolve your doubts also. Thereafter, once your doubts have been, the doubts are cleared, with a clear understanding, you repeatedly dwell upon that clear understanding you have. The repeatedly dwelling upon the clear understanding is possible only if you have clear understanding. That is why contemplation is a meditation. Contemplation is meditation. This contemplation, if you can't call it a meditation, it is useless. It is not possible if you do not have clear understanding. What the self is, what you are, must be very clear. Shastram says, I have understood it. Now, Shastra's vision is my vision. I am Aham Purnaha. Aham Chaitanyam Brahma. I, the self, am consciousness. That must be very clear. Not simply saying it. How? The Mananam has helped you to resolve all the doubts about what you are not is very clear. What is I is nothing. I is nothing but consciousness. Wave is water. I is nothing but consciousness. That becomes very clear. Repeatedly listen to the Shastram and reflect on the teaching. And which must have been preceded by Shravanam. That is why that clear, doubt-free understanding which you have after Shravanam and Mananam, that understanding when you repeatedly, constantly contemplate upon, when you dwell upon, that becomes ascertained, unforgettable knowledge which helps you resolve all your habitual, age-old, wrong orientation, all your emotional problems. Understand? Actually speaking, the jealousy, hatred, anger, all of them will resolve totally only when the vision becomes ascertained, for which Nididhyasanam is the must. Nididhyasanam, the contemplation, is the meditation. For which you must have understood the Swarupam. How can you dwell upon the fact if you do not know the fact? Understand? That is why we don't believe that is not meditation. It is this contemplation. Meditation means focusing, meditation on the fact about yourself, what you are, which you have understood clearly through Shravanam and Mananam, is Nididhyasanam. That is what is meditation here. It is this alone will result in clear, unforgettable knowledge where your sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy, sent down I, the age-old habits, wrong, all old habits, because I am the body-mind's complex. This notion has been there for ages. And this knowledge, you have got it recently now, isn't it? Therefore, for it to resolve, contemplation is important. Understand? Sannyasa Yogat. Where does Sannyasa Yoga come now? Karma Yoga precedes, is the means for Antakarna Shuddhi and also for focused attention, without which Shravanam will not be effective, without which Mananam will not be possible, without which Nididhyasana will be impossible, and without which unforgettable, you cannot resolve your emotional problems. It is the Nididhyasanam which alone will help you resolve your emotional problems. Understand? Nididhyasanam will help me resolve my emotional problems. Then can I do the Nididhyasanam, Swaminiji? Would you please teach me only Nididhyasanam? People come. That is what Shastram is Yatihi. Yatihi means what? Why Yatihi? Appropriate effort. Yeah, Nididhyasanam, I don't need to teach you. You will become contemplative in the very class. See, I always tell this. Puja Swamiji always tells this. We don't need to teach contemplation. Be, keep on listening. Shravanam, 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 Paunapunyena, Shravanam. Repeatedly keep on listening with all patience, without feeling bored and tired. How long should they be listening to this? You're tired means finished. No. Have a cup of tea, come back and sit again. That's what you can say. Listen and again, listen and listen, but not as you like. Everybody is listening. You know, not like that. Systematic, regular, proper listening from a teacher. That is what is listening, like a physics class. You don't go first day one professor, and next day another university professor, next day another university professor. Don't talk anything bad of other professors. Keep quiet. But be with one. You had to go to one university, one classroom, one teacher, listen every day physics, and you come to know a certain portion of physics lessons clear. And that's what I'm saying. It's very important. Very, very important. So this teaching. Then Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, that alone will help. So only when you resolve emotional problems. And before that, you cannot resolve emotional problems without doing contemplation. And contemplation is impossible without having your doubts resolved, for which you must do the Mananam. And Mananam is possible. Doubts, first of all, will rise when you have some understanding. Therefore, do Shravanam first properly. Therefore, sannyasa yoga implies jnana yoga, which means the shravanam, mananam, nidhyasanam should follow what? This antakarana shuddhi and naishchanyam. If it is not there, make simultaneously efforts. Now they're giving it up anything here. You have to know, you know, which is sannyasa yoga. Then comes. Then they, what do they become? Vedanta vijnana sunischita arthaha. It talks about the people, again the wise people only. One long compound meaning wise people. Arthaha means a subject matter of the crux teaching, the central theme of the Shastra teaching is called Arthaha. Okay, the central teaching, the central theme of the Vedanta Shastra's teaching, what is it? You are Purnaha, you are Anandaha, you are fullness, you are happiness, you are the limitless reality, you are the whole. All that is here is you are Paramatma. Understand, there is no second thing other than Paramatma. There is no second thing other than you. This is the vision of the Shastram. This is the, you know, this is the central theme of the Vedantic teaching. This is Artha. And this Artha, Sunischitaha. Nischitaha means what now? Doubtlessly, clearly, unforgettably ascertained. Okay? So, is what? Unforgettably ascertained. Under teaching of the Shastram is called Sunischita Arthaha. So, Sunischitaha Arthaha Yaihi. Those people who have got this, the central theme of the Vedantic teaching, ascertained doubtlessly. Nischitaha itself means what? Chitaha means chosen. Nischitaha means confirmed with conviction. Sunischitaha means unforgettably ascertained. Sushtu nischitaha. Nischayena chitaha. Understand? Sushtu nischitaha. This fact has become unforgettable, clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision for those whom... Okay, Vedanta Vijnanam means what? Vedanta Vijnanam means Shastra Jnanam. Vedantic knowledge, vision. Vedanta Vijnanasya Arthaha. Understand? So, the central theme of the entire Vedantic knowledge is that I am Aham Brahmasmi. That vision has become clear for whom? They are said to be Vedanta Vijnana Sunischita Arthaha. Those people, how? Those people of ascertained, doubt-free, unforgettable vision of the Self being Paramatma, which is the central theme of the entire Vedantic teaching. Now, they alone, what? Para antakale, the time of death. Brahma lokeshu, becoming one with Brahman. No, paramrutaha, having recognized their identity with Paramatma, have become immortal, an absolute self, and they become liberated. They attain moksha. They become free, liberated from bondage of karma. Can you put all the words together now? Who? Yatayaha. How does Yataya? So this verse present the chronological order of the whole teaching. Yatayaha. Shuddha sattvaha. Sanyasa yogat. Vedanta vijnana sunischita arthaha. Paramrutaha. Para antakale brahma lokeshu parimuchyanti. Is it clear now? This is the order. So now what should we do? You all know. If are you a yatihi, I should become a yatihi. Yatihi means what? You see the in Sanskrit books you buy, yatihi means they'll put on sannyasi with a saffron robe. Yatihi, but the cheap pictorial glossary. Okay. Yatihi means they'll still show on Swami standing with sannyasi, saffron robes. Don't say that. You should know yatihi. This big meaning is not given in dictionaries, okay? Dictionary, if you say sannyasi, renunciate, they'll put this meaning. Even Apte's dictionary. Yatate iti yatihi, yatnashilaha, prayatnavan, the one who is of right effort. And what does he do? Lives life karma yoga, becomes a pure-minded, becomes a person of focused attention. Then he is given to sannyasa yoga. He does shravanam and mananam and nididhyasanam. Resolves his ignorance through shravanam. Resolves his doubts through mananam. Then resolves his emotional problems through nididhyasanam. Thereby, he becomes the person of clear vision of the teaching of the shastram. Thereby, he becomes immortal. Thereby, he becomes one with Paramatma. Thereby, he becomes free from bondage. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.